Johnny. You've done a lot of flying. What does it feel like to black out?
That's one of the things you're going to hear about right now on Your AAF.
To keep the peace, to pioneer the future. This is the mission of Your AAF. The Army Air Forces, in cooperation with the American Broadcasting Company, presents Your AAF, a weekly report to the American people on its continuing operations throughout the world today and its adventures in research, which are pioneering for your better world tomorrow.
Airmen are reputed to be fearless, but even the bravest of flyers have long dreaded the word blackout. Later on this program tonight, you'll hear how Your AAF is ending that dread with a merry-go-round that saves lives. Right now, it's the all-soldier orchestra of the AAF taking to the air for a whirl of its own with A V.I. Sing. America's top military figure, Chief of Staff General George C. Marshall, told the nation that to lay down our arms, to fail to maintain our resources of brain power and manpower, was to reap the Holocaust. In a masterful report to the Secretary of War on the progress and completion of World War II, General Marshall solemnly sounded this warning note: prepare or perish. Bluntly, General Marshall reminded the American people of the terrifying potentialities of the atomic bomb. Turn to General of the Army H.H. Arnold's estimate of future weapons in the air.
Jet fighters capable of the speed of sound, reaching targets 2,000 miles away at altitudes of above 50,000 feet. Development of bombers operating at speeds faster than sound, carrying bomb loads of more than 100,000 pounds, is already a certainty. At this moment, we are manufacturing a bomb weighing 45,000 pounds. Air Ordnance engineers have blueprinted a bomb weighing 100,000 pounds. We can direct rockets to targets. Drawn by their own fuses, they streak unerringly to the heart of factories, attracted by the heat of their furnaces. Rockets so sensitive that in a large room they aim themselves toward a man who enters, in reaction to the heat of his body.
But facing the terrible specter of any future war is the bright prospect of that new world that air power has opened to us. The Frankensteins of war have their gentle side, too. In this time of revealing secrets, the Army Air Forces is first in the field. This weekend, the AAF Fair opens at Wright Field, Dayton, Ohio, throwing open the technological secrets born of war to a people at last at peace. For a preview of that fair and its scientific marvels, We take you now to our AAF radio reporter, Captain Bob Van Kamp.
This is your AAF reporter, Captain Bob Van Kamp, speaking from historic Wright Field, where this weekend 500,000 people are expected to attend the world's first Army Air Forces Fair. Set up here on the Wright Field flight line are more than 6,000 feet of tenting filled with the most complete display of airplanes and aviation equipment ever shown the American people. Here are the secrets of radio-controlled airplanes, radar, jet-propelled engines are all revealed for the first time. This Air Technical Service Command show opens free to the public Saturday morning at 10 a.m. and ends Sunday evening. A press and radio preview will be held tomorrow with visiting representatives from all over the United States. Right now, we're standing in a big room housing some exciting new radar equipment from the Electronics Subdivision. To help you get a clear picture of what's on hand, here's Major Arthur Wilde at the Radar Laboratory. Major, how about showing us what's in store for the folks who come to the Army Air Forces Fair?
Okay, suppose we start with this airborne radar interception device.
Oh, yeah, that's the equipment that smells out enemy planes and tracks them down for the kill.
Well, it isn't just a war device. It's sure to make peacetime aviation a lot safer for everybody. Watch now. I'll show you how it works. When we flip this switch, the radar antenna up here inside this big dome will start spinning around fast. As it turns, it transmits radar waves, which, when they hit any metallic object in their path, they bounce back. Then, on this radar scope, we can see the target we're striking.
I notice you mentioned that radar waves are powerful.
Absolutely. See these neon tubes we've got set up around the radar antenna?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to turn on this radar antenna. As it spins around, the radio frequency current transmitted from it will actually light up these neon tubes and make them burn.
This I've got to see. You mean the electrical power transmitted from that antenna is strong enough to pass through the air without touching those neon tubes and light them up?
Absolutely. Watch.
Starting to turn now, going faster and faster. It worked. The neon tubes flashed off and on as the antenna went spinning around. The radar waves activated the electrons in the neon tubes and made them light up. It's really amazing. But now for more unusual demonstrations. We switch you across the flight line to another part of the Army Air Force's fairgrounds and Captain Howard Finch.
We're speaking now from the Equipment Laboratory exhibit, and I want to tell you about a development that's been on the secret list until now. One of the hundreds of items on display here at the Air Fair. It's a set of swinging doors that helped win the war. The pneumatic bomb bay of a B-29 Super Fort. Beside me is a training aid model of the huge doors, and here's Lieutenant Colonel Harry Frank McCaffrey of the Equipment Laboratory to tell us how they work.
Captain, believe it or not, those doors open in less than a second.
Well, that's a lot of metal to move so fast.
It certainly is. Watch now, and I'll open them for you.
Colonel McCaffrey pressed the release switch and the door snapped open almost instantly. Colonel, do they close just as fast?
Yes, they do. Let me show you.
Well, I wouldn't want to get my arm caught in those swinging doors. Now, why do they have to open and close so fast?
When a bomber is caught with its doors down, it slows up the speed. Over a target area where flak is heavy, you can't afford to lose speed. And you don't want to tip off the enemy by opening your bomb bay doors too soon. These doors solve both problems.
The pneumatic bomb bay door is only one of the many amazing new developments on display in this equipment laboratory area. Farther on down this mile-long tent is Captain Elmo Israel with still another exhibit. Come in, Captain Israel.
We're now in a large tent area housing hundreds of exhibits from the personal equipment laboratory. Here you can see the flying clothing, parachutes, and emergency rescue equipment standardized by this laboratory for the Army Air Forces. Over here to the left is a big 27-foot boat. Major Stanwell Fletcher, chief of the emergency rescue branch, is standing beside it. Major, what do you call it?
That's the Army Air Force's Flying Dutchman. It's a power-driven boat made of plywood. We carry it on the bellies of B-17s and B-29s and use it to rescue flyers stranded on the ocean.
Well, how do you drop it down to the water when the plane is in flight?
Well, every Flying Dutchman is equipped with 3 48-foot parachutes. We just release it like we're dropping a load of bombs, like this. The boat falls away from the plane and drifts down to the water.
Will the Dutchman sail far, Major?
Yes, she's got enough supplies and gasoline to travel hundreds of miles. She saved over 200 lives in the last 4 months of the war. And as long as our flyers travel over water, we'll need boats like the Flying Dutchman to play safe.
Thanks, Major Fletcher. And now we switch you back to Captain Bob Van Kamp, who has hopped in a jeep and moved a mile down the flight line. Come in, Bob. Over.
We're speaking to you from a menagerie of airplanes. It's a terrific sight. Bombers, fighters, helicopters, funny-looking experimental planes, they're everywhere. And here's one of the Wright Field test pilots who flies them. His name is familiar to millions, Captain Don Gentile. Don, what's on schedule for all these airplanes?
Well, Bob, all these planes will be flying at the Army Air Forces Fair. We're going to put on a real sky show.
Well, if you put all of these planes up, the air will surely be filled.
That's right. I figure it will give a good picture of today's air power and show promise of even greater aviation miracles in the world of tomorrow.
Well, thanks, Captain Don Gentile. From Wright Field and the Air Technical Service Command, we now return you to your AAF in New York.
The roar of our planes spreads over the globe. The rush of our wings carries us forward into history. Frontiers have crumbled. And we live in one world. With General Marshall, your AAF believes in ceaseless preparation to defend the brightest future our world has ever known. To that end, we pledge ourselves to remain first in the air, to keep the peace, to guard the future, now and forever. Thanks to the miracle of radio, America's hit songs are as familiar to the GI in the far places of the earth as they are on Main Street and Broadway. Through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service, this program is heard by GIs from Munich to Yokohama. For them and for you, Sergeant Bob Carroll comes up with a song that's one of the newest, and for all overseas Joes these days, the most appropriate.
I miss the thrill of grammar school romances. I miss the junior prom and graduation dances, the gossip at assembly hall. I'm homesick, that's all. I miss the game that hangs around at Miller's, devouring chocolate sodas with the whipped cream fillers. The girl I promised I would call, I'm homesick, that's all. I miss the midnight services on Christmas Eve, and the joy when Christmas morning came. I miss the scramble for the wishbone every Sunday, and the big Thanksgiving football game. I miss the times I had to set the table. I miss the rolls my mother made when she was able. The fragrant bonfires in the fall. I'm homesick, that's all. I miss the times I had to set the table. I miss the rolls my mother made when she was able. The fragrant bonfires in the fall. I'm homesick. That's all.
Listening to the official program of the Army Air Forces, your AAF.
Come on, good, stubborn son of a gun.
Have you, too, had trouble removing rusty screws? Is your screwdriver losing its grip?
Oh, you're darn right, brother. The head's gone in this screw, and it's going to take me half an hour to dig it out.
Oh, that's just where you're wrong, because to meet emergencies like this, the Air Technical Service Command has developed the answer, the perfect tool.
Yeah? Well, what's that?
Allow me to present to you the Handle Socket Wrench Impact Driven Screw and Nut Loosener.
The handle socket? The what?
Yes, you might react to that polysyllabic name in the same manner as this GI. But what's in a name? It's the performance that counts. Supposing you could remember what to ask for, you'd get a tool that looks something like most mechanical screwdrivers on the market. Only it's a bit shorter and stouter and made entirely of metal. A rawhide hammer causes the bit of the screwdriver to seat itself solidly in the slot of that stubborn bolt or screw, and at the same time a twisting motion spins it loose.
Well, let me see that, what do you call it?
Okay.
All right, you...
What were you saying?
Okay, baby. Holy smoke, it works!
And it does. Developed to meet the time needs of V-29 mechanics, this amazing tool will be a number one household implement on tomorrow's brighter living. Come weekends, your Sunday husband handyman, faced by that stubborn screw that won't come out, no longer will mutter in his beard,
Nuts, that cross-grained, double-rusted, no-good cantankerous...
He'll simply say,
Honey, hand me the handle socket wrench impact-driven screw and nut loosener, please.
And that'll fix it. There's only one thing. Can anyone think of a simpler name?
America is being rediscovered these days by millions of returning veterans. Boys have been away from home a long, long time. And with it, they're rediscovering some pretty wonderful American music. Music such as the All Soldier Orchestra brings to you now. All the Things You Are.
Thank you.
for the story of the human centrifuge, a merry-go-round that saves lives, your AAF takes you by Army wire recorder to right field. Come in, Lieutenant Will Douglas.
This is your AAF reporter, Lieutenant Will Douglas, speaking to you from the human centrifuge test room in the Aeromedical Laboratory at headquarters, Air Technical Service Command, Wright Field, Ohio. I'm standing before one of the oddest-looking machines I've ever seen. It resembles a large, black, two-armed merry-go-round with a cockpit at both ends. This piece of equipment is known as the centrifuge, one of several that have been used in experiments to develop anti-gravity suits for our fighting airmen. Since the early days of aviation, flyers have dreaded one word. That word is blackout. The anti-G suit is the scientific answer to their dread. This small, light, protective garment contains bladders which are automatically inflated with air when the pilot pulls out of a dive or performs a banking turn. The centrifugal force developed during the maneuvers caused the pilot's blood to pool in the lower parts of his body so that less blood returns to the heart to be pumped to the head. The anti-gravity suit, by applying pressure to the lower part of the body, opposes the tendency of the blood to pool, giving our pilots greater combat efficiency and avoiding blackout. With me today is Captain George A. Hallenbeck of the Aeromedical Laboratory. What does blackout really mean, Captain, that the pilot is unconscious?
No, blackout describes a situation caused by exposure to centrifugal force, or G-force, in which the pilot has completely lost his vision but remains conscious. Vision returns immediately when the episode of G has passed. Unconsciousness is the next stage beyond blackout and will occur if the G-force is high enough and lasts long enough. Would you care to ride and see how it feels to blackout, Lieutenant?
I think I'll forego that discovery. However, your AAF reporter, Captain Howard Finch, is strapping himself in for a ride right now. He will describe the sensations he feels up to the point of blackout. The cab or cockpit in which the captain is now seated will swing outward when the centrifuge starts, somewhat in the manner of a pail of water on the end of a rope. His body will lean over with his head pointed toward the center of the centrifuge exactly as it would were he coming out of an airplane dive. The faster the machine goes, the more force he'll be subjected to, and the more severe will be his symptoms of blackout. Incidentally, the captain is not wearing the anti-G suit we mentioned a moment ago. Well, the machine is about ready to start, so here is your AAF reporter, Captain Howard Finch.
All right, we're well strapped in, and in a moment, the centrifuge will get underway, and we'll endeavor to describe the sensations as they occur. Now, for broadcast purposes, we're not going to go fast enough to black out completely and thus lose control of our microphone. All right, we're just about ready to get underway. And now the machinery begins to hum. In a moment, the centrifuge should start whirling around in its giant circle. And here is the first movement, picking up speed slowly, slowly picking up speed, and now faster and faster we whirl around until our microphone seems to feel very, very heavy. Our eyes pull down, and as it starts to slow down, the microphone lightens up, and the machine is coming to a stop. And the feeling of heaviness and lassitude is disappearing. As a matter of fact, it is gone in just a few seconds. Well, all in all, it was a most interesting ride, but one that I should hate to take very often. And now, back to Lieutenant Doherty.
From the human centrifuge test room at the Aeromedical Laboratory at Headquarters Air Technical Service Command, Wright Field, Ohio, we've tried to bring you a word picture of the merry-go-round that saves lives. Experiments already carried out on this centrifuge and others like it have helped in the development of a practical anti-G suit, which is designed to help maintain proper blood pressure throughout the flyer's body, thus keeping our airmen from blacking out. With jet propulsion, rocket planes, and ultra-high-speed aircraft just around the corner, the experiments in this laboratory today will govern the flying safety of the winged world of tomorrow. This is your AAF reporter, returning you to New York.
the singing voices and the all-soldier orchestra of the AAF dip their wings to our neighbors in the south. It's an exciting Mexican medley with Estrellita, Cielito Lindo, El Rancho Grande, and La Cucaracha.
To pioneer the future. This is your AAF. This is the American Broadcasting Company.